Gavin Appel joins me. We're going to talk about talent, investment, and revenue growth. Stay tuned. This is Gavin Appel of OneStack.
G'day, how are you guys?
Gav, lots going on in your world right now.
Huge amount.
OneStack is now a partner with LaunchVic.
Yep, so a couple of weeks ago, we were announced as part of Funding Round 5 as a grant recipient for the Founders Education Series, which we're kicking off on May 7th, actually here at Creative Cubes upstairs in the event space. Pretty excited for it.
That's pretty exciting. I didn't know you were coming here.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's right. We bypassed you, Toby. Everyone thinks Toby's the decision maker here, but bypassed him and we've secured the space.
There's plenty of gates and layers in front. Because when you get to me, I go weak at the knees. Yeah. That's very exciting. So so talk to us a little bit more about Series 5 for LaunchVic.
Yep, Funding Round 5.
How big was the fund?
Yeah, so LaunchVic is a $60 million fund being run by the government, independent of the government here in Victoria. The idea around LaunchVic is about helping the ecosystem through accelerators, incubators, education series, etc. Mm-hmm. And Funding Round 5, I think, was about $2.9 million, and it went to 16 different advisory firms from growth, like OneStack, through to PR, marketing, investment, and other verticals as well.
And so you guys have got some of that capital to then deploy certain things?
Yeah, so so the idea around the funding round is to be able to run education series around scaling up. Ours is focused on export and growth. That's part of our expertise at OneStack.
Yep.
And we have to run 8 workshops over the next 16 months.
And you just open that to members, either LaunchVic pushes it out to their database?
Yeah, so we do our own marketing, LaunchVic do their own marketing, but the idea is that it's for Victorian founders who have raised less than $10 million who are not currently in an accelerator program. And so there are a lot of founders that we've experienced over time who want to work with companies like ours but don't have the funds to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for founders who are a bit earlier on in the spectrum, predominantly pre-seed, have been a lot of the applications that have been coming through. And it's a great opportunity to put them in front of world-class operators.
Where can we get the application? I'll link it in the description below.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can get it straight from the LaunchVic website or from the OneStack website.
Okay, I'll list all of that in the details below. Let's dive a little bit further. OneStack.
Yep.
I know what you guys do. They don't know what you guys do.
Yeah, so OneStack, we started 2.5 years ago. It's a growth consultancy firm. We focus on scale-up startups from seed right up to Series C. We've done some work in corporates as well.
Yep.
But we're about advisory, but also delivery, hands-on delivery. We're very outcome focused. We love working with awesome founders. We love working with the investment community on their portfolio and just having a lot of good fun along the way.
And so it's 2.5 years old, but you're not 2.5 years to the sector. You worked previously in venture capital.
Yeah, so the reason why I don't have a lot of hair here is because I started in the space in 1995 and in the search engine optimization space 4 years before Google was founded. So really early days. Spent a bit of my time growing up in my career as a CTO of a startup called Hitwise, which we sold in 2007 for $240 million to Experian, a big global credit bureau, $10 billion market cap, 16,000 employees. Spent 4 years getting my corporate stripes there, which was a lot of fun, a lot of travel. Probably the biggest year of travel was 2011, 21 overseas trips, which was intense. Still got a bit of post-traumatic stress disorder from that.
And plenty of miles.
But I did get the Qantas goal for life, so pretty pumped about that.
That's good
for when you take the kids away.
It's pretty, Qantas is crap, but that's okay.
Yeah. Then moved from corporate into venture capital.
Yeah, so you're with SquarePeg, Rockman, Bassett.
Yeah, Libermans and a whole group of outstanding people. SquarePeg Capital is one of the funds here founded in Melbourne, now invests in Australia, Southeast Asia, Israel, and some in the US as well.
Amazing. And so we actually, it's random how we both got connected. I first came to connect with you on a company that I was quarterbacking, I was not an owner of, called Inc.
Yeah.
Inc Corp, where we turned text instantly into emojis. And I got put in front of you, and little did I know that I went home to my wife that afternoon. Or maybe, I don't think she was in the country. I think I was just
here. She was in LA, you were here on a fly. It's the usual Toby fly in, fly out.
And I told her that I met with you. Yeah. She's like, Gav, hello, Gav.
I've known his wife, Sim, since she was like this big.
She's just a little bit bigger now.
And the whole family. So yeah, it's very small world. And I think that talks to the whole community at large here in Australia and globally, especially the tech space. You know, everybody's connected to everybody else. You know, lots of opportunities if you can, you know, leverage that network for your startups.
Absolutely. And I, you know, a bit crude when I say it, but it, you know, I talk to a lot of people all the time. And I'm constantly saying, you got to be careful where you shit because everything's connected one way or another. I had the most random email this morning from someone introducing me to someone who then replied and said, here's my LinkedIn, let's connect. Connected with them on LinkedIn, believe it or not, I actually spotted this guy at the Commonwealth Games a couple weeks ago. And I swear to you, I said to Sim, I know that guy from somewhere. I just can't place him. Anyway, he's coming here on Friday for a chat. But
I must say, if there's anybody that just randomly pops into Creative Cubes for a chat, you yet all walks of life walk through this place. And we're proud at OneStack. We're proud founding members of the Creative Cubes community. But it just amazes me. People who walk through, people who from my schooling days, you know, my brother's mates, you know, just everybody just comes through. So it's a really good vibe.
Very good. And so when you're looking at startups, there's, you know, a bunch of things that a lot of people look at. What are the kind of like the three top things that you guys at OneStack really hone in on?
Yeah. So I think it's a really good question. I think there is so much to do as a startup, right? You know this, I know this, we've both been there before. So
I'm back doing it, by the way.
You're back doing it. The hustle.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, at OneStack over the past couple of years, we've worked with over 80 founders ranging, as I said before, from C to Series C. And I think that there's a clear trend that's kind of come out of it around pain points for growth. They would be talent. How do you create a world-class talent organization, including culture?
Yeah.
Investment, where, why, how, when, and everything that comes with investment. And the third one is around growth, predominantly revenue growth.
Yep.
And I think that in the changing nature of globalization and how you can market globally and acquire customers, you know, without a sales team like the likes of Atlassian and others have done over the years, I think that revenue growth element is changing so fast with automation and content marketing and this stuff like the vlogs and various other things. You can really target a global audience just from Cremorne.
It's very interesting. You know, those are really, for us, obviously revenue is an important thing, but it's sort of like maybe fifth or sixth thing for us. We're really focused on the community, but from a Matt leadership team, culture is everything.
Yeah.
We're going to attract talent to come to Creative Cues because of the culture that we have. Forget about members, forget about consumers of the product that we've developed, more around the talent that we have on the team to service the members.
That's right, yeah. So in this instance, you know, the happiness team, you know, you come in, they greet you, they're very happy, that happiness, pardon the pun, you know, they're happy to help you out, you know, when you're having meetings, when people are coming or going or getting coffees from across the road or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
And so that kind of falls into that talent bucket, but you know, you put a very high threshold on the people that you recruit into the happiness team, 100%. Right? 100%. So I think a lot of founders and a lot of executive teams don't know what A-grade talent looks like, right? So if you're a B-grade founder, knowing what A-grade talent looks like is really difficult.
Yep.
If you're an A-grade founder, you want to surround yourself with other A-grade or A-plus grade people. But a lot of you know, executives, well, I call it executives, you know, other employees inside a startup, get a bit nervous about when they're interviewing to hire people that are smarter than them.
Yeah.
Because they think that they're going to take over their job and they get a bit protective and all
so
that.
So interesting. I work really hard on trying to be the dumbest person in the room. I really do.
You do a good job.
No, I know I do.
Does a great job.
Best in the business. But it's important. And one of the things that, you know, is very well pronounced on our website is surround yourself with people.
Yeah.
In our case, surround yourself from a community, in the community aspect, surround yourself with people that want to win.
Yeah.
Right. But for me, I get no pride. There's no ego from a leadership perspective. I want to recruit smarter people and I want to enable them to do what they do best because they get lift. The company gets lift as a result. And then individually, I get lift from a personal skill set perspective.
I also think recruiting somebody, not for the role today, but the role tomorrow, right? Because if, you know, a business is growing at a rapid clip, they're very quickly going to be out of their depth if you don't hire someone either with the capabilities that have been there, done that before, or with the drive to learn more. Like when I started my career, I remember, you know, Hitwise was being founded and various other things were going on, and we were going to hire in an experienced general manager. And I turned to the founders and I'm like, hey, I know I'm only 21 years old, but give me that job.
Yep.
You know, give me a go, give me 12 months and see if I can build this division that we were working on, which incorporated sales, marketing, account management, you know, technology as well. And they gave me that opportunity. So I think, you know, recognizing your team and those ones that are hungry to do more is really important as well.
Totally.
Because to grow a team, you can either hire from within or you can bring in external. Sometimes you have to bring in the external because you don't have the experience.
Well, I think you have to bring in external because I think somewhere along the journey, and we talk about the journey here at Creative Cubes a lot, and I talk about it with members of the community, along the journey, something's going to give. Either the company's going to take off and the founding team aren't going to be able to respond as quickly because they're out of their depth really quickly. Or alternatively, the business isn't, and in order for it to grow, potentially founding team is going to be out of their depth as well, having lack of experience. Here, different story, and I don't want to use Creative Cubes as an example, but if you're, you know, looking at your business, I think it's super smart to have like the best people around you.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah, and those people, you know, what we find at OneStack, because of the way we built our model, we created this growth consultancy as a virtual organization. So we've got 150, what we call operating experts at different functional areas, from product to engineering to sales to strategy to finance, etc. And what we do is we augment our founders' teams, the companies that we work with these experts to be able to deliver and execute or coach and set up frameworks to be able to get that world-class strategy in place that then we will help hire in the doers to be able to deliver and execute against that. So it's about being, you know, that's the hustle, right?
Totally.
You've got a limited amount of cash, a limited amount of runway. You need to be able to figure out what you can do with those resources and then surround yourself with people who've been there before. 10, 15 years ago when Hitwise started, or I think it was like, what was it 20 years ago, 1998, you know, there weren't a lot of people who had been there, done that.
Sure.
You know, even like 10 years ago.
Terrain.
Yeah, 11 years ago when the business sold to where we are today, like the game's changed. There was no social media back then or anything like that. So acquiring customers, whether it's enterprise or SMB or B2C, is very, very different game today.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you in 2 years' time, again, the landscape will be totally different.
Agree. So the three take homes are?
People, investment. And I think investment is worth touching on for like 2 seconds here.
Yeah.
It's very time consuming for a founder to raise capital, right? If you think it's going to take you 2 months, it's going to take you 6 months, unless you're bloody lucky and everything just aligns, right?
Yeah.
But I think you need to, you know, the overall theme that you need to do as a founder, I believe, and just as a general startup team while you're going through that growth, is prioritization.
So I agree with you. Yeah. And we're not canvassing for money, but I've, you know, like back in the day at Inc.
Yeah.
You know, I was out there trying to push for the founding,
for
the founders. Do you think it's smarter to recruit someone in to do that and execute it? Or do you think it's smarter to plug into a consultancy group that can help you get in front of the right people and then pitch?
Yeah.
Because it's bloody time consuming.
It is bloody time consuming. There's so much going on in a startup, as we know, right? So my take is that having been on the investment side of the table is we just want to see the founder.
Right.
The founder and maybe one other exec in the initial pitches, right? You want to meet the whole team. You want to get to know. You want to be culturally aligned. But ultimately, it's the founder you're investing in and the team that you're investing in. We don't invest, when I was an investor, or you know, I do a bit of investing now as well. You're investing in the founder and the team. You're not investing in advisors. So whilst OneStack's a growth consultancy and we help with investment, our philosophy there is it's up to the founders to raise the capital. We'll be their player coach. So we'll help them demystify the whole process. We'll help them, you know, pre and post meetings around what they should be thinking about and the overall process, but it's their game.
And you open doors?
Sometimes.
Very interesting, guys. And so startups, you know, like the startup world is sort of like, you know, they still consider Uber to be a startup.
I knew you dropped the Uber name.
Yeah, well, no, I mean,
you have to drop one of these multi-billion-dollar organizations into it, didn't
but,
you?
But they are.
Yeah, of course.
Allegedly.
Is Seek a startup?
Seek is no longer a startup.
Why not?
Seek's a lot older.
Wait a minute. Did we just get 5 seconds where Toby didn't say anything? Did we catch him out?
You stumped me there.
I think, you know, Seek recently did a massive restructure where Andrew Bassett, the CEO and co-founder, is now focused on future growth initiatives. So I think in some ways, whilst they've done numerous investments globally, they're constantly looking at ways, as are all big organizations. Some are doing it well, some aren't doing it as well, but looking at ways to be able to continually innovate, or else they'll get out-innovated by the more, you know.
Yeah, I agree, but the landscape is like seed to E, series, maybe even further, right?
I think what you're saying is it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So prioritization is key. This shit doesn't happen over a year or two, right?
No.
You know, journeys, on average, I read an article the other week analyzing all this data. On average, it used to be 7 years to an exit or an IPO, like a liquidity event. Now it's more 8 to 9 years, right? These metrics are always going to change.
Sure.
What you need to do is, as a founder, is focus on your game.
Yep.
Focus on things that you can control. There's no point focusing on things you can't control.
Just execute the shit out of your game.
Execute.
And everything else will fall in.
That's right.
Fall in line.
This has been a fun 100th episode.
He said he wouldn't be able to speak for 12 minutes. He said maybe 3
Toby
to 4.
I wouldn't go on this until we got to a one milestone along a very long journey that Toby's on as well. And I said, it's 100. He goes, it's just 100. I'm
just
like, 100.
It's 100.
It's just 100.
Just 100. Mate, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being a foundation member as well.
There you go.
JJ and Bex, a lot of love for you guys.